Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Moments tonight, I want to teach on a thought. The title, I think I've preached this title before, but it's not the same message, but the promise and the process. The promise and the process. And so let's pray together one more time. Just ask God's blessing on the teaching and just that our hearts be ready to receive tonight. God, we love you so much. Thank you. Lord, we just honor your great name in this house tonight, for you alone are worthy to be praised. And thank you for strengthening us, Lord, and helping us through every situation. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Tonight, let our hearts be good ground for the word. Let us be ready to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, that we might be changed, challenged, made better, and be ready to meet you when you come. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord. Give him some praise tonight. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, darling, for singing to us so beautifully tonight and leading us in that worship. You know, one thing I love about Wednesday nights and just teaching and just taking time to look at the Word is because we live by every word. We have a life that's, you know, it's framed by the Word. The Scripture says we understand that by faith the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and so my world needs to be framed up by the Word. I thought about this just during worship tonight. I thought John wrote that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, we know who he's talking about. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, it calls him by name the Word of God. But I thought when you apply that to some scriptures where Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am, number one, he is the I am, but I am come. In other words, the Word has come that I might have life and life more abundantly. When the enemy comes in and does these things, and works havoc in our life, I promise you there's something in this word that will help you. That's an understanding, or if you want to call it a revelation, that is something we need to grasp if we are going to make it. If we are not built on the foundation of God's word, if we can't trust the stability of the word of God, we're going to have a hard time walking with him. It's going to be tough when the storms of life come. It's going to be rough when that lion comes up behind you roaring, seeking if you're able to be devoured. But when you've got that word and you can stand on that promise. We used to sing the old song, Standing on the Promises of God. You know, and just as an old hymn, that was a hymnal, and the whole congregation would just be singing to the top of their lungs, Standing on the Promises of God. And there's something that God's people need to make sure that they don't lose sight of, is that our hope and our strength and our success will rely on whether or not we are in the Word and on the Word. Praise God. So Peter, writing to the saints of God, he said, whereby are given unto us. God's a giver. And, you know, if it's given, it's already there. I don't have to work for the promises. I don't have to try to achieve the promise. The promises are given, just like we talk about, thanks be to God, that gives us the victory. He's already given us the victory. And he's already given us problems. As a saint, as a child, as the church, as the body, we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. There are things that belong to us that don't belong to anybody else in the world. Not that they couldn't have them, but when they become part of the body, they have access to those things. He has given things for the body, and we love the promises of God. I love the promises of God. I love the promise of everlasting life with Him. I love that. And, you know, we stand on those promises. We hope in those promises. And the great thing about the promises of God is they're not from man. Because, unfortunately, the Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, sometimes men, maybe not even to be just to be wicked because of fear or intimidation or something going on, they may lie. Sometimes to you know, avoid confrontation, they may lie. Sometimes to avoid getting locked up, they might lie. have you been drinking tonight, sir? No, sir. We'll blow in this. We'll see. Oh, there you go. But, you know, it's like that sometimes. And sometimes even people will lie out of good intent. They think is a good intention. They're trying to prevent a hurt or something. But eventually the truth will be known always. The truth always comes to light. But the great thing about God is He's not a man who can lie. And He's not a man who can make promises and then not keep them. Hebrews 6 and 18 tells us definitively that it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. And so we know that. And so that's wonderful. So when I think about the promises of God, I understand that they are going to come to pass, that His promises are true, that what He has said in His word is for me, that when He sends His word forth, He says it will accomplish the thing that I set it out to do. So it doesn't return void. It's not an empty promise. It's not an empty scripture. It's not an empty word, but there's life. As Jesus said, I came to give you life. So the word came to give life. There's life in the word. Even Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. There's life in the word. Don't shy away from God's word. Don't shy away from studying God's word, and don't shy away from receiving God's word and hearing God's word. I want to hear the word so my faith will be strong, because faith comes by hearing, and our hearing is by the word of God. I want that in my walk. I don't want to try to substitute anything for the word. I don't want to try to substitute church attendance for the word. I don't want to try to substitute worshiping or listening to praise music or podcasts for the word. I want to make sure that I am in the word. I want to read it. I want to study it. And then I want to hear it, because His word gives us life. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it tells us that God is faithful. And then in Hebrews 10 and 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. That's what I love. He's faithful that promised. And I'm thankful for God's truthfulness and His faithfulness, that when He promises, He will follow through on what He said. And if He tells us that I will make a way of escape so you can bear it, don't ever think, well, He missed it this time, because I can't get out of this. God will make a way of escape that you are able to bear it. Oftentimes, that way out is through His word. Yeah, we'll find ways out when we look in the scripture and understand the promises of God. We understand that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And we understand that He is the healer of all of our diseases. These are simply scriptures, promises that belong to God's children in the word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter how alone I feel, that's just my flesh. That's just my emotion, because God is always with me, even until the end of the world. That's the promises of God, and He's faithful that promised that. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, for all the promises of God. We've quoted this a lot this year. In Him are yea, and in Him amen. In other words, they are yes, and let it be unto the glory of God by us. God says yes to his promises. They are true and they are faithful, and let it be. Amen. Praise God. So we know that these things are good for us. And this is something that God's people, that the times that you would see them begin to stumble was when they would forget that God is faithful who has promised. Sometimes he promised punishment. Well, he did. You could read in the Old Testament, he would begin like he talk about, if you're faithful to my word and you keep my words, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And that's just, it seems like a very short chapter or a few verses that he's talking about some blessings. But then he goes on to say, but if you refuse and if you won't hear, and then he begins to go on about the things that will happen to us if we rebel against his word or go against his word, then those are promises. God's not, he's not just, it's not empty, that's not empty threats. You know, people say, is that a threat? And you know, no, that's a promise. Oh, you know, hey, God, is that a threat? Oh, no, that's a promise. And it happened. It would happen just like he said. If you turn from me, then you're going to wind up going into captivity. You're going to have these problems. These issues are going to come upon you. And it would always happen just like he promised, whether it was the blessing or the curse. He said, I set before you blessing and curse, life and death. And so they had to get this and understand this to be successful. And Solomon, as they were dedicating, they had been dedicating the temple, and he was praying, said when he had finished talking, said he fell down on his knees and stretched his hands out to heaven. In 1 Kings 8 and 56, he said, blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. In other words, God did what he said, and he has given us rest according to everything he promised us. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. This was Solomon talking about the promises that were given as far back as Moses. And he said they were promised and way back then, but we are enjoying the rest and the blessing of the promises, because no matter the ages, no matter how many years go by, no matter how leadership changes, God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord. He does not change. And his promises endure the test of time. They mean what they say. And friend, when he fell down and began to worship God, he just proclaimed that God is faithful who has promised. Now, there's two words that we really love to associate with the word promises. We like these adjectives to help us describe promises, and one is fulfilled. If it's going to be promises, we want that word fulfilled. Lord, fulfill that promise. The other one would be quickly. Fulfilled and quickly. Lord, fulfill that promise quickly. In other words, Lord, do it now. And I think that the misconception is because we know that God is faithful. We know that he doesn't fail. We know his word doesn't fail. We know his promises don't fail. We know his promises are powerful. And since they are so just set and sure, we think that we should just have them right away, that the promises just fall in our lap. But this would be the main point of my lesson tonight, and it's a principle throughout Scripture. If you read the Bible, you'll see this over and over through Scripture. And get this, if you're taking notes, write this down. The promise does not eliminate the process. The promise does not eliminate the process. No matter how faithful the promiser is, there's still a process. No matter how true the promise is, no matter how powerful the promise is, there will always be a process. Now, essentially, all of God's word is a promise because it's true. It's faithful. His word is true. It's truth, and it accomplishes what it set out to do. Every application of it, it worked, always has. It has never failed. And even those who were God's prophets, when they were really God's prophets and they were hearing from the Lord, prophets prove that statement. that the promise does not eliminate the process, because they would prophesy, prophecy equals promise. What they prophesied, it was promises of things that were to come. It was a process. The prophet Habakkuk said this, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." Process. But at the end, when it's time, it shall speak, and it won't lie, so it'll be truth. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. It, in other words, he said, it's true, but it has an appointed time. It has an appointment, and so what do I do with that? I'll wait for it. The promise is sure. The vision is sure. What God spoke to you is sure. What was prayed over you is sure. What was preached to you is sure. But friends, sometimes it doesn't manifest as soon as you walk out the door. Sometimes it does not manifest while you're here in the altar. Sometimes it does not manifest while you're in the conference. But it is for an appointed time. And it will speak, and it will not lie, and it will surely come, and it won't tarry. When it's time, it's not going to be say, hang on, give me five. It's not going to be like Brother Arnold say, give me five more minutes. When it's time, it's going to tackle you. It's going to run right into you. It's going to wrap itself around you, and you're going to know it's true, just like he said. When you think about the birth of the church, well, it didn't just happen on that day of Pentecost, you know, just out of the blue. In Joel chapter 2, there was a Joel chapter 2 before there was an Acts chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, he preached the message before Peter ever did. He was the one who recorded, and it would come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He was the one who began to say those words. And we read those words again in their entirety when Peter stands up under the influence of the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit was being poured out on all flesh. The promise was spoken by Joel, but there was a process of time. It was spoken many, many years before that day of Pentecost was fully come. What was the process? Well, how about this? One night while shepherds were in a field, the angels showed up and said, now there has born unto you a Savior, Christ the Lord. Jesus was born. He grew. He began to minister. He called his disciples. He taught them. He did miracles, signs, wonders. He was betrayed. He was crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected. He was seen of his disciples once again. He gave them instruction. He ascended, because he said, if I don't go, the Holy Ghost cannot come. He ascended, and then the day of Pentecost was fully come. There was a process to the promise. Joel had no idea what it would look like when God's Spirit would fall on this earth. But he said, this is what the Spirit of truth has given me to write. Every word is given by inspiration of God. And it was given to Joel. He wrote as he was moved on by the Holy Ghost, and he wrote these things. He had no idea what he was writing about, except that it would come to pass. He didn't know if it would be in his day. They didn't know when the last days would be. But he said, I will write this because it is a promise from the Lord. And guess what? Many hundreds of years later, it happened just like God said. But there was a process. There was a process. Many times that scripture was probably read in the synagogues, and they wondered about it. But one day, just like that, it didn't while he told them to tarry. But then when the tarrying was over, it came, and it didn't wait no more. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It came from heaven, and it filled the house where they sat, and cloven tongues of fire set upon each of them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It happened. When they wanted to know what's that, Peter said, this is that was spoken way back then. But what did he call it? He said, it's a promise, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a promise that was given way back to the prophet Joel. But Joel prophesied a promise, and God is faithful who has promised. But the promise never eliminates the process, because Jesus had to be involved in that. So that means he had to be born. He had to die. He had to come out of that grave, ascend to heaven, so the scripture could be fulfilled. It's like this in every single thing we see. Even Jesus, as he prayed in the garden, he knew what he was come to do. He knew he was the Lamb of God that came to save his people from their sins. He knew who he was. I am a Father of one. He knew who he was. But he cried and wept and mourned and had sorrow when he prayed in that garden that night. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was saying, if there's any other way to process this, if there's another way, let it happen. But he said, but if it won't pass except I drink it, then your will be done. He said, if this is the only way, then your will be done. And of course, we know that he received strength and he went on to Calvary's Hill and he gave that sacrifice. But there was a process even to our salvation. He had to go to Calvary. He had to die and shed his blood so that we could have our sins washed away. But then he had to come out of the grave. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. He said, there'll be a process because the resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. Without the resurrection, our faith is in vain, Paul said. But he said, destroy the temple. That's how you're going to have access to everlasting life. Destroy the temple. That's the process. 3 days, I'll raise it up. Promise and process for the Messiah, for the Savior of the world. The promise of the new birth. That's what brought us the promise. There would be no new birth if he had not died and been buried and rose from the dead. Because that's what the new birth represents. Death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection. That's the good news. But the promise of new birth, that was a process for it to be available. Now the process for us to receive the new birth, there's still a process. We don't just say, well, I believe and now I'm born again. There's no scripture for that. It's not in the Bible, but there's a process to that promise of new birth that we repent. We die of our sins. We repent and we're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said it in John 3. You must be born again. You must be, oh, okay. Well, I believe you. I'm born again. No, that's not what he said. He said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. There's a process to new birth. And when we do that, when we obey the scripture, when we obey the gospel, we receive the promise. When you believe the gospel and you obey the gospel and you say, I'm going to go down in that water. I don't care. If you believe it, you really believe that Jesus died from your sins and rose from the dead. When you come out of that water, friend, your sins are washed away. Everything that was going on before you went in that water, it's gone. That's the process. The process. And the promise. The promise of your sins being washed away comes through the process of baptism in Jesus' name. The process of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, is being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. For without the Spirit, we are none of His. And when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, then the promise of becoming the children of God is fulfilled. That's the promise and that's the process. And it'll always be like that. It's going to always be like that. And I'm thankful that God gives us strength. And the thing is if you can understand that, when you think there's no process to promise, you get frustrated. When you think there's no process to these things in God's word, then you're going to get aggravated. That's when people start walking away because they think they can just online order it and it's going to come. It'll be here when I order it. It'll be here when I want it. But God's going to do it in His timing. God's going to make it happen when it's right. You know, in reading this, I was looking through some scripture, and this might sound funny, but go all the way back to Genesis. In Genesis 4 and 3, we don't like to talk much about Cain because he killed Abel. But I saw something in this scripture today, and in the process of time, it came to pass. Now, I'm going to show you a promise, even Cain. Was working under the promise that God had made. And he said, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Yes. He didn't go to Kroger and get it. It wasn't no Aldi, wasn't no Fresh Market. He didn't go somewhere and just buy produce from the ground, fruit of the ground, and bring it to lay it up on the altar. there was going to be a process. Cain was, he worked the ground, he worked the fields. That means for him to do what he did, to bring that offering, he cleared the ground, he plowed the ground, he planted, he watered, it had growth, then he harvested, and then he gave an offering. There was process. But this process was only made possible because of the promise that God spoke in Genesis 1 during creation. In Genesis 1, 11 and 12, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. God had already designed it to do so. And the earth, just like he spoke, the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. His promises are good. And that's what he designed the earth to do, to bring forth so that men could eat and men could have those things. And God said in verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which is the fruit, a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. So the process of Cain even being able to offer up from the fruit of the ground came from the promise. And he didn't just go out, like saying, to a store went and bought it. He had to plant that and wait on it and grow. And then when that crop came in, he took it up and he offered it as an offering unto the Lord. But you see what I'm saying? It's the principle there. Is that for every promise that God spake, there's a process to get it. To have the promise of that food that would feed you, you would have to plant that seed and plant those trees and harvest those things. It would be a process. You can have all the crops in the world, but if you don't go out to harvest, well, you're skipping part of the process and you won't eat. So you've got to do that. A familiar story of promise and process would be Joseph. We know that he were given dreams from God. He waited 22 years for the fulfillment of his dreams. 22 years. He was, when you study it, most people agree, he was 17 years old when he received the dreams. 17. You think about how silly you were at 17. Yeah, I didn't know nothing. If anybody in here is 17, I'm sorry, but you don't know nothing. You ain't learned nothing yet. 17. And he gets these dreams, and but we know what happens. He's sold in slavery. For 13 years, he is a slave and a prisoner in Egypt. For 13 years. At the age of 30, this is when he becomes second in command to Pharaoh. This is when he has interpreted the dreams, and now Pharaoh puts him over all Egypt so they can begin to save food to survive the famine. And he is 39 years old when his brothers arrive to Egypt and bow down in front of him. 22 years for fulfillment of his dreams. He gave the promise way back then, but it was a time. It had an appointed time. Because he knew, I've got to get him all the way to the palace. I've got to get him out of his father's house right here. I got to get him out of this place and get him all the way. And it wasn't going to just be a straight, narrow path with no rocks on it. It was going to be a pit. It was going to be a prison before he ever made it to the palace. That equaled his process. But then the promise came. And it shows us that it's always going to be God's timing. Our perseverance. We've got to endure. We've got to persevere. We've got to trust that what God spoke to me is true. So God's timing, our perseverance will always show the victory and the triumph of God's plan. And I'm thankful for the promises, and I'm thankful for what the process is necessary. Joseph was not ready at 17 to save his family. He was not ready at 17 to be second in command. He had not been through the things that he needed to go through to have everything that he had to have to show Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh and to interpret those dreams. It wasn't there at 17, but it was there at 39. You got to trust him. You got to trust God's process. You believe his promises, then trust his process. God will get you there. God will get you there. So I'm trying to look at the clock for us today. Let's apply it to us today. Some scripture out of the New Testament that we could look at to help kind of just solidify this process in our walk with God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, the writer said, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Don't throw away your confidence in God and his promises. Don't get rid of that. But listen, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Process leads to promise. The promise is already there. The promise is waiting. God doesn't just come up and make up new promises. The promises are already there. And he said, "But you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." You can't jump in front of the line. You can't say, "Well, God, how about just go ahead and pay me in advance, and then I'll do what I need to do." That's not how he works. He says, "No, you're going to work, and then you get paid." That's how it works. And you're going to do what you're supposed to do, and then you'll receive the promise. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come." You know who he's quoting right here? He's quoting the prophet Habakkuk. The same words we just read a moment ago where he said that it will come and will not tarry. He said, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So process leads to the receiving the promise. It will come. It won't tarry. When it's time, it will be there. And that's when you want it, when it's time. That's when you want it, when it's time. You know, of course, that's not how we are, but how we would be. It's like, you know, I love Christmas. I love it. But some of us are like, "Hey, can you give me my Christmas present in like August? I won't do nothing with it till Christmas." Yeah, right. You know what happens Christmas morning? You want another present. "Hey, I gave you a present back in August. I wait till it's time to give you that. I don't give you Christmas presents in August. I give you Christmas presents in December. I give them to you then." And you know, that's a kind of a light way to look at it. But it's the way we do with God. Sometimes we want that thing right now before it's time. But we can't handle it right now. And there's no shame in that, because the promise is still true. Joseph wouldn't have to drop his head at 17 and say, if God would say, "Hey, Joseph, at 17, you're not ready yet." Oh, man. You know, the promise is real. It's going to come to pass, but you've got to grow into it, and you've got to mature into it, and you've got to go through the things that are going to get you there. So understand that for every thing, there's a purpose. For all things work together for good that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And so all these things, they're working towards the promises, toward the good things of God. And so I want to hold on to that. So that's what the writer in Hebrews said. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away that confidence in God. Hang on to that. God is faithful who has promised. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, it's just some examples. There's a lot of this in the book of Hebrews, but it says, "And when God made promise to Abraham," God made a promise. Well, if God made a promise, it's going to come to pass. Now, Abraham's story is amazing, because Abraham, just look up, you see those stars? If you could count them, that's going to be the way your seed will be. It'll be as the stars of the sky, as the sand on the seashore, that's what your seed is going to be. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac. Well, I can see one star, Lord, but there's, where are all these other ones coming? See, there was going to be a process. Abraham would not even fully realize those things. He would not even fully understand those things right then. But it says, "But God made a promise to Abraham," and we know that God is faithful. And Abraham and Sarah wondered because they were getting older and things were changing in their bodies. And they understood just naturally, hey, you know, God said that he was going to give us a child, and all this seed is the multitude of the stars and all these things, but nothing's happening yet. So don't feel like something's wrong just because it hasn't come to pass yet. Yes. So many times we feel like, well, it must not be true. Maybe I must have misunderstood it. I must be doing something wrong. I must be messing it up. Whatever. God makes a promise. He's going to keep it. And when God made this promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And then, and listen how familiar this sounds. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Okay. Process, just like we just read a few chapters over, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you would receive the promise. And that's what he said about Abraham. After he had patiently endured, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. And so Abraham understood God is faithful. God is faithful. And I'm going to believe him. And I'm going to trust him. And after he had been patient and just endured and stayed faithful to God, guess what? When it was time, the promise came, and Sarah did have that child exactly like the Lord said that she would. We've got to endure. There's nothing wrong. It's the process. It's the process. There's nothing wrong. Just trust God. He made a promise. And so the other side of this lovely couple was Sarah, Hebrews 11 and 11. And honey, you can come to the music. It says, through faith, also Sarah herself. So it wasn't just Abraham, but Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And this is the whole key to it. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She said, no matter, she struggled with it. You know, of course, you know, the scripture says she laughed when she heard that Sarah would have a child. She laughed, and the Lord said, you laugh. I didn't laugh. Oh, but you did laugh. And she did laugh because it was kind of, you think if you were 90 years old, you're thinking, I'm going to have a kid. That's kind of funny. Lord, you've got a sense of humor. But he wasn't making a joke. God was doing something that seemed impossible. You know, why did he let them get to that age? Maybe for you and me. Maybe for people all the way down through centuries, so we could understand and realize that God is faithful. And God will do things when it's right. God will take care of us. God will come through. And it doesn't seem, matter how impossible it looks or how impossible it sounds or how impossible it is in the flesh, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, which goes hand in hand with they have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There are, he promises that there is nothing too hard for me, that with me all things are possible. With men, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So let's stand together tonight and settle it in our heart that we're just going to judge God faithful who has promised. Maybe you haven't seen everything come to pass that's been spoke over you or spoke into your life or prayed over you or even that you've read in scripture. Maybe it hasn't all come to pass yet, but let me tell you, God is faithful. God is, when it says God is faithful who has promised, it means that he is faithful in every aspect of your promise. It's not just he's faithful that opened his mouth and let the words fall out. That means he's going to do everything to ensure that it comes to pass. He's going to be faithful in every aspect of the promise. He's going to open doors that need to open and close doors that need to close. He's going to supply every need that needs supplying according to his riches and glory. He's going to fight your battles. He's going to comfort you. He's going to console you. He's going to correct you or chasten you. He'll be faithful in every aspect of your promise. He'll oversee every bit of it. He won't leave it to chance. He don't pass it off to angels. It's God. God is faithful to his promise, and he is faithful in every aspect of your promise.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.